Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Chagigat HaZayin. We are holding 9 lines from the top of the Amud. Tan Rabbanon, we learned in a Brisa, Shisha Devarim Ne'emru B'Shedim. Shedim contain 6 elements. Shloisha k'malachei asheres. In 3 things they resemble malachim. Ushloisha k'bnei adam. In 3 things they resemble ordinary people. So a shade is a hybrid creature. On the one hand, he has a heavenly aspect like a malach. On the other hand, an earthly aspect like human beings. You know, the Ramban says that bnei adam, human beings, are comprised of the 4 elements. Fire, air, water, and earth. Shadim, on the other hand, are a little bit higher than us. They contain those 2 higher elements only. Fire and air. So they're sort of in between humans and malach. Shloisha k'malachei asheres. In 3 aspects, they resemble malach. Yesh lem k'nafayim k'malachei asheres. They contain wings like the malachim. V'tosin misseifa olam v'atseifai k'malachei asheres. They fly from one end of the world to the other, like malachim. V'yoydin mashe osad liyos k'malachei asheres. And they're aware of future events, like malachim. Yoydin sakadaitach. They actually know what's going to be in the future. Only Hashem knows that. Elo shaymin machoyde apargoid. They listen in, they could hear coming out, messages coming out from behind this mechitza. The pargod is a mechitza separating the shechina from the malachim. They can hear messages coming out from there. Kim malach asheres, just like malachim, can hear those messages, and this way they're informed regarding future events. So 3 things like malachim, u'shloisha k'bnei adam, in 3 elements they resemble human beings. Oichlan v'shoishin k'bnei adam, they eat and drink like us. Although their food is a little bit more subtle in nature, but they ingest moisture or some heat radiation, in which case they're similar to bnei adam. Porin v'raven k'bnei adam, they have offspring like human beings. Umesim k'bnei adam, and they have misa like bnei adam. Interesting, the Ramban in Chumash actually says that the shadim are to be found in those areas which are uninhabited. He says shade is Lashon Shadud, a desolate area. He says like in the north and south poles, the really cold areas where nobody lives, that's where the shadim are to be found. Interesting. So a shade is a sort of a combined malach human being creation. Continues the Braisa, Shisha Devarim Nemru B'Bnei Yadam. When it comes to us human beings, we also contain 6 elements. Shloisha k'malachei asheres. In 3 things, we resemble malachim. We have that heavenly aspect to us. Shloisha k'behema. We also have 3 elements which makes us similar to the behema. We have an earthly aspect to us as well. Shloisha k'malachei asheres. In 3 things, we are compared to malachim. Yesh lehem das k'malachei asheres. Humans have understanding like malachim. U'mahalchen v'koyim eskufa k'malachei asheres. They walk upright instead of crawling. They walk upright like the malachim. U'mesaprim b'lashon hakodesh k'malachei asheres. They speak lashon hakodesh, just like the malachim. Masho explains, although not everybody speaks lashon hakodesh, the word just means to say, us human beings have the ability to speak, right? Ruach memalula. And in that sense, we are compared to malachim, as opposed to animals who can't speak. And that's why the Gemara mentions Lashon HaKodesh, because actually the malachim can only speak Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara uses that as a comparison, as a means to compare us to malachim. We can speak. Shloisha k'behima. We have 3 animal aspects contained in us. Oichlan v'shoishin k'behima. Bnei adam, eat and drink like a behima. Well, the point is not to drink like a behemoth, but to take that earthly aspect within us and to elevate it, of course, to take the behamius within us and use it l'shem shemayim. By doing so, we elevate ourselves and spiritualize ourselves. But we have that potential behema potential within us. Uparin v'ravin ki behema, we have offspring like behema, umaytzin re'i ki behema, and b'nei adam produce waste as well. The Mishnah says, kol ha'mestakel b'dele dvarim, if one contemplates the following four topics, rasui lo shalei b'lo oylam, it is better for him had he have been unborn. What are the four things? We'll go through the four things. Mishlei malamata, understand what's wrong with investigating what's above the earth. Malamata, what's below the earth. What's above the world, what's below the world. Malachar, what's going to happen after the world is destroyed, after the world in its current form is no longer here. Lechai, I understand what's wrong with that. That's something beyond human grasp and can be misinterpreted and misunderstood. Ela lefanam, but to speak about what occurred prior to Briyas Ha'olam, what's wrong with that? Mada hava hava. It's bygone. It's irrelevant today. Why would that cause any harm? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Lezer. The Amr Tavai, they both explained. Mashal lemelech basar adam. It's analogous to a human king. Sha'amar lavadav. He tells his servants, Benuli palterin gedoylin al ashpa. Can you please build me a large palace on that landfill over there, on the ashpa? Halchu ubanaloy. They built him up this beautiful palace. At this point, nobody recalls that it's situated on a former ashpa, which of course is not honorable to the king at all. So he wants them to forget about it. Ein ritzoinoy shel melech lahasker shem ashpa. He doesn't want anybody to recall that there's an ashpa there. Kaviyach Hashem doesn't want us to relate to what happened before the Bria. The Rafarshim bring the Ramban Chumash. Initially, Hashem created a very subtle form of matter. He calls it Hayyuli Hadak, from which the world developed. But that too is a creation. It wasn't there all along, Chas V'Shalom. Hashem created that as well. So speaking about the origins of the Bria can perhaps bring us to a misconception that those original elements of matter, those simple forms of matter, were always there, which of course is erroneous and firmly mistaken. But Hashem doesn't want us to get into that. So he doesn't want us to discuss malafanim as well. The Mishnah speaks about kol shalei chosal kavod koinei, whoever doesn't pay attention. He doesn't regard Hashem with kavod. Rasuloi shalei bala oilam, prefer that he wasn't born. Mayhi, what does it mean? Kol shalei chosal kavod koinei. The Mepharshim say, one's seichel, one's intellect is kavod Hashem, that's the neshama of Hashem within you. You meant to use it properly, rather than abuse it and apply it to topics which are not meant to be discussed. Mayhi, exactly what are we speaking about? Rab Abba Amar Zeh Mestakel Bekeshes. So according to this Pshat in the Gemara is speaking about, the Mishnah is speaking about very specific things. He's not according proper honor to Hashem. He's concentrating on the Keshes, on a rainbow, which is an expression of the Shekhinah. He shouldn't be Mestakel. The Mepharshim say Mestakel, it doesn't just mean a quick glimpse, that's okay. Of course, you have to take a glimpse at the keshes to make that bracha. Mestakel means focusing, concentrating. That's not meant to be done. Rav Yosef Amar is a ever aver b'seiser, one who disregards kavod Hashem by saying, look, I'm not going to do avera in public, but in private, I'll do what I need to do. That's called lichos al kavod koine, because by doing so, he is indicating that Hashem is not to be found all over. Says the Gemara, Mestakel b'keshes. What's wrong with looking at the keshes, the rainbow? The chsiv kemari hakeshes, asher yeh ba'anon v'yoyim hageshem kein mari hanoigah soviv hu mara d'muz kvod Hashem. So the keshes is an expression of kvod Hashem. Therefore, you shouldn't be focusing on it. Rav Yosef Amar, za'iver aver b'seiser. So doing an avera quietly in pub, in private, is negating Kavod Hashem. Why? Kedrav Yitzchak. The Amr of Yitzchak, Kalaivar Aver B'Seiser. If one proceeds to do an Aver B'Seiser, rather than in public, what he's saying is, In fact, he's pushing away the legs of the Shechina, which are really to be found everywhere. And according to him, this place is devoid of Shechina. Shenemar koyam Hashem, Hashemayim kisi, va'aretz is the hadoim raglim. It's Hashem's hadoim, that's where he rests his feet, kaviyachol. Hashem is all over. So what difference does it make whether it's in public or private? And she says, Eimer b'libo, he's pretending that ein Shechina kan, there's no Shechina, and it's not true. Uksiv, aretz hadoim raglim. So it seems in the Gemara, doing an Avera, Beseser is worse than Begoli, because he's indicating that Hashem is not present in private. Eini, is that so that an Avera Beseser is worse than Avera Begoli? Va'amara b'la'azake, imra ye'adam, she'yitzrim is gabar olav. If a person just feels, he just sees that the Yitzhahara is overwhelming him, he's going to succumb to the Yitzhahara. What should he do? He should travel to a place where he's not known. This way, his self-worth, self-esteem drops, and he doesn't have that desire. It's a hurl drop as well. Dress up in black, which again, perhaps will drop his mood, put him in a subdued state of mind, in which case, perhaps it's a hurl drop him. That's one pshat. Another pshat Rashi brings, that even if he does the Avera, V'yasa mashali b'chafes, Taisa says it's mashal in the Gemara, that's exactly what's happening. He's actually going there with the intention to do the Avera, but at least minimize the damage. Do what you need to do. V'al yichal al Hashem shemayim b'farhesi, avoid chil Hashem. Doing it in a place where you're known, doing it in public, carries a double violation, a double thing. A double wrong. He's doing an Aver and also defaming Hashem's name. Look what this person is doing. Atamot Chacham, Ma'er L'chayid. Do it in private. At least minimize the damage. Minimize the publicity. It's pretty clear. Aver B'Seser is preferred to Aver B'Gali. Like Kasha, the answer is like this. Depends on the circumstance. Ha D'Matzi Kayif Leili Yitzri. A person has the ability to overcome the Yetzirah. Basically, it means to say he has the will, the willpower. He's about to do it, but he says, look, I'm going to go in private and do what I need to do. This is a Chil Hashem. This is Leichos al Kvayit Koinim, because what difference does it make if it's in public or private? Hod Leimotzi Kayif LeYitzri. But if he knows he's going to succumb. Leimotzi Kayif, when Farshim say, doesn't mean he can't overcome. Everybody could overcome. Everyone has Bechir, or Bechar to Bechaim, just means to say practically, he knows he's just going to fall through. Okay, so you're holding at that point. At least minimize the effect, minimize the damage. Don't do two things wrong, the Avera and Chil Hashem. Why do you need the Chil Hashem? If you want to do something, do it in private. So it all depends on the attitude. If the point is, I wouldn't do it unless it's in private, that's disregarding Hashem's presence. Hashem's all over the place. But if he knows he's going to succumb and he chooses to do it privately, to avoid Chil Hashem, that's preferred. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni was the meturgamanai, he was the announcer, the translator, the Reish Lakish. He says like this, Kolam Estakal B'Gimel Dvarim. Whoever concentrates on the following three things, Einav Keis, his eyes get weak. Because these three things are expressions of Shechina. Number one, Bekeshes, the rainbow. Ubenasi, at the face of a Nasi, the supreme leader of Klal Yisrael, the king, or the Nasi in Babel, because the Shechina rests on his face. So when it comes to these two things, the Mepharshim point out once again that a quick glimpse is okay. Take a look at the Keshes to make a bracha. Take a look at the Tzadik. Vahoyu einecha, rayis es meirecha. Gemara in Erevin speaks about one of the Tanaim who says, look, because I saw Reb Meir's his back of his head, I got Chachma. Of course, if I would have seen his face as well. So, glimpsing at a tzaddik is recommended, and a nasi as well. But when it comes to a nasi, supreme leader of Klal Yisrael, there's a special hashruas hashchina, and be careful not to overdo it. Ubi kayhanim. When the kayhanim are doing birchas kayhanim, there as well, one must not gaze at them. And here the Mepharshim say it means just gazing, a slight gaze is also a problem. We'll see in a minute why. B'keshes, when it comes to a keshes, avoid the keshes. Achsiv, kemari ha-keshes, asher yeh be'onon, b'yoyim ha-geshem, who married the muskvayt Hashem. Like we said before, keshes represents Hashem. B'nasi, what's wrong with the face of a nasi? Achsiv, v'nasata mehoit cha'olav, Hashem instructs Moshe. Apply your aura on Yeshua, who's going to be the next nasi, the next leader. The hoid of Hashem rests on his face. And thirdly, we speak about avoiding gazing at the Kayhanim. We're speaking during the Beis Hamikdash. They were standing on the stage in Varchan Yisrael, b'shem ha'mefarish. When they included the shem ha'mefarish in their bracha, at that point the Shechinah would rest on their fingers and one is not meant to look at that. So the whole question regarding nowadays, does this apply, does it not apply? So firstly, Tosfos brings the Gemara in Megillah that a kohen is not meant to have a mum on his fingers because that distracts the people of Masiach Das. Instead of focusing on the bracha, they focus on the kohen's hands. So that's one issue. What about looking at their hands? What about the concern about the Eina of Chaos, about the Shechinah? Tosfos Rosh says, even B'zman HaZeh, there is some slight Shechinah presence on their hands as well, therefore one should avoid looking at them. Others disagree, but the Magen Avraham, Nechavetz Chaim, and Mishneh Berurah brings it as well, that even though there's no Shechinah today on their hands, but there is a Zecher. We still avoid looking at their hands. Zecher l'migdash, Zecher to the Shem HaMafarish, which brought about proper Ashras Shechinah on their fingers, B'zman HaMikdash. So that's the minute today we look away, we cover our face with talus, etc., to avoid gazing at their hands during Birchas Kohen. Darash Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Nachmeni meturgemeni derish lakish. So another lesson from the same Adamer. My dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean? Al taminu bereya, al tiftechu bi aluf. So we dash like this. Don't trust the reya. Don't believe in the aluf. In yomer lecha yetzahara chatoy. The reya we turn into ra. The yetzahara, who's the epitome of ra, comes and tells you, look, Chatoi, do what you need to do. Sin, Vakadosh Baruch Hu Moichel, Hashem is compassionate. He'll be Moichel, don't worry. Our loving Father will take care of it. Al Tamin, don't believe him. Al Tamin be Ra. Who's the Ra? Ve'in Ra, al Yetzer Hara. Shenamar Yetzer, Leva Adam. Ra. Don't believe, don't listen to the Ra, who's telling you that Hashem, the Aluf, will take care of you. Ve'in Aluf, who's Aluf? Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar Aluf Nurayato. Don't trust him, don't believe him. We know that the Mishnah in Yuma says, if one says, Echta va'ashav, he's going to have a hard time doing teshuva, because the concept of teshuva is pretty much enabling his chet. So he abused the concept of teshuva. It brought about chet. How could teshuva come back and get him out of the chet? As the Mefarshim explained over there. So don't trust the Yetzirah. No. Shema Tamei, perhaps he'll say, me maybe. Who's going to testify that I'm doing things wrong? The answer is, Avnei Beisei Vekoreis Beisei Shaladim Heim Eden Void. The stones of his building, the beams of his house, they're going to testify. Shenemar Ki Evan Mikir Tizak, a stone will call out from the wall. Vekfis Meisei Anenon, this half brick will call out from between the rows of wood. Vechacham Maimrim Nishmasei Shaladim Midaboy. A person's own neshama will testify against him. Shenemar Mishay Cheves Chaykecha, from the neshama that lies in your lap, Shmoir Pischei Picha, be careful about what you speak. What lies inside a person? The neshama will testify. Rav Zrika Amar, those two malachim that accompany us, they're watching us. Shnei malachim asharis, ha melav and oisai. Hey, meidin by they will testify. Shnei malachim malachim bitzav lach. The shema chamachal rechacham aimrim. A varav shaladim, one's own limbs, meidin by will testify against him. Shnei mar vaatameida. You are my witnesses. Numa Hashem vanike. Continues the Mishnah. We know that pretty much every carbon has smicha, where the owner leans on it, he says his vidui, in preparation for the akrov of the carbon. Sort of relates personally to his carbon, makes it his own personal representative to Hashem, so to speak. The Rabban Chumash says when a person leans and he makes the tshuva, he's thinking, well, this carbon is instead of me. He's my substitute, like Kapar, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tzmurasi. It makes it very personal. The Gemara will tell us that you have to lean B'chol Koyche, with all your might, totally leaning on the animal. You're sort of giving yourself over through the animal. In any case, what happens on Yom Tov? Is smicha to be done or not? Now, what would be wrong? What can be a problem? Because one is not meant to use an animal on Yom Tov. It's just a drabon, because it might lead to him pulling off a branch to lead the animal. So mishtamish bebalechaim is a shvus drabon. Okay, so what happens on Yom Tov? Big machlokes. In fact, Rashi says, this Mishnah contains the very first machlokes that ever existed in Klal Yisrael. Tosfos brings the Gemara. We know that the concept of machlokes only came to be when things became unclear and things became forgotten. Up until this point, things were crystal clear. Everything was given by Hashem through Moshe. All the Torah Shabbat was known to all, but as the days progressed, the tzoras increased, times became more tumultuous, and Yidden started forgetting the Torah. And this was the first time there was some sort of question which was not resolved. A big machlokes raged throughout the days. Yes, smicha on Yom Tov, or no smicha on Yom Tov? What's the point of the machlokes? What's the basis for the machlokes? So actually, the Gemara Beitza explains, the shaila is whether, we know there's smicha, but is it right next to, does it have to be takev l'smicha shchita in close proximity to the shchita, or perhaps it can be done yesterday before Yom Tov, which wouldn't justify leaning on the animal on Yom Tov? That's the shaila. Can he do it yesterday or not? Some say yes, some say no. Yosi ben Yezer oimer shalai l'smach. You don't do smicha on Yom Tov. You bring a carbon, speaking of course about a private carbon, you don't do smicha. Shame chagiga oilas ri'a, you do not do smicha. Perhaps any, even a carbon tzibur, you don't do smicha. Yosi ben Yechon oimer l'smach. Typically on a carbon tzibur, there's no smicha, right? Okay. So we're talking about a shame chagiga oilas ri'a. According to Yosi ben Yezer, there's no smicha. Do it yesterday. Now you'll ask, what do you mean? Ein shavus b'migdash, famous kasha. Typically, we don't apply isurah derabbanan in the migdash. This is a big kasha. Many, many terutzim are given. Some say, well, if you need to, but here you could do it yesterday. It's not a blanket heter. Any shavus is mutar b'migdash only if it facilitates avodah. Well, in this case, do the smicha yesterday. Yosef ben Yechon aymer l'smich. According to Yosef ben Yechon, you do smicha on Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara will tell us that actually they were peers. So every two names represent a different dor. And one of the Chacham was the Av Bezen, and one was the Nasi. So these peers represented various dors. First dor that had the machlokes was Yosef and Yezer, was Yosef and Yechon. One was the Nasi, one was the Av Bezen. And then the next dor as well, there was a same machlokes between the Av Bezen and the Nasi. Yeshua ben Prachi Omer, Shalai l'smich. Nitai har beli omer lismich. Yudu ben tabi omer shaloi lismich. Shim meshatach omer lismich. Shmai omer lismich. Avtalan omer shaloi lismich. The next door we had Hillel Menachem. One was the Nasi. Hillel was the Nasi. And Menachem was the Abbezn. Lo nechleku. Between them there was no machlekes. Everybody agreed smicha is in place. But then Yotza Menachem. Menachem left his post. Nichnas Shammai. Shammai took him over. He became the Abbezn. And then the machlekes was generated between Shammai and Hillel. Shammai omer shaloi lismich. Smicha is not justified. Do it erev Yom Tov. He'll lay me lismich. Harishayim ha'yinasim. So amongst these peers, the first name mentioned was the Nasi. Ushnim lahem. And their sequel was the Abbez. Tanur Rabban. Shloisha mizugas harishayim sh'amr shloi lismich. So we have five peers in total, right? So three amongst the first three peers who say shloi lismich. And ushnaim mizugas achronim shamar lismich, and two from the second two pairs, and the last two pairs, right, four and five, who actually said smicha, hayu nesim. All those were nesim. Ushnim lahem avayis bezn divrame, and the other ones were avayis bezn. So we have five pairs. The Gemara splitting them into two sections. In the first category, the first three pairs, the ones that said no smicha, were the nesim. Second category, the last two pairs, the ones that say yes, smicha, those are the nesim. And their counterparts were the avos bezn. So basically, when it gets to, let's say, Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shotach, so who's going to be the nasi? Yehuda ben Tabai. Right? because he's the third pair, and he says Shloi Lismeich, and the one that says Shloi Lismeich amongst the first three pairs, Adi Nasi. So according to Rav Meir, Yehuda ben Tabai Nasi, Shimon ben Shatach Av Bezdin. You have to remember, this is very important. V'chacham Oimrim, the other way around. Yehuda ben Tabai is the Av Bezdin, V'Shimon ben Shatach is the Nasi. Says the Gemara. Now we're going to run into a problem. Man Tana, Lo de Tana Rabban, who's the author of the following price? Omer Yehuda ben Tabai. Ere ben Achama. He made a Shavua. I should be zeicha to see the comforting of Yerushalayim, meaning the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. This, of course, was just a metaphor. He just the other way. He was saying, "I will not, I should not be zeicha to see binyan Yerushalayim, nechamas tzion, im lo yarakti eizayim. If I didn't do the following thing, basically, I'm swearing, I'm promising, I did the following thing. I killed an eizayim, right? The eidim that came and plotted against an innocent individual." We come to Bezdin, we testify about this person, he killed somebody, or he stole, or he's Chayv Misa, Chayv Malkus, he has to pay up a loan. And of course they're false Edom. It turns out that others arrive and say, look, you too Edom, how can you purport to testify about this incident that took place in this and this time, and this and this place? What do you mean? At that moment you were with us in a different area. So they made them Edom Zaymim, and Zaymim means to plot. They turned them into plotters. They uncover their plot. Halacha is that an eid zayim gets punished with the same punishment that he tried to inflict onto this innocent person. Va'asisam loy kasher zamam, you apply to the eid zayim just as he plotted. Lasis la'achiv, to apply to his brother, his poor brother, innocent brother. Says Yehuda ben Tabai, I personally killed, I applied the death penalty to an eid zayim, a single eid zayim, after his plot was discovered. I did it to disprove. What I did disproved it stukim. Stukim were those people who negated our tradition, Teresh Valpeh. They had a different approach, had a different opinion when it comes to eid zayim. Show you, they used to claim, "Ein eidim zayim in nehrogin." You never kill an eid zayim, ach yehoreg anidim, unless the innocent victim, their victim, was actually killed. Misa was applied to him, but if they catch them before the verdict was actually implemented, then the eidim zayim don't get einish. Rashi brings the pasuk nefesh benefesh, which means only if there was a nefesh loss, then we apply Misa to them as well. But if they testified, and Bezdin accepted a testimony and applied a verdict, but didn't actually carry out the verdict, then they get off scot-free. I disagree with them. Chacham disagreed with them. Pasuk says, Kasher Zamam Lasas L'Achiv. We apply to them what they had in mind to their brother. Apparently the brother's still around. As long as the verdict was issued, even if it wasn't yet implemented, the halacha of Edim Zomimin applies. And therefore it says, Yehuda ben Tabai, I actually killed, I applied Misa to an Eid Zomim. As soon as the psak din, as soon as the verdict was issued, and psak din of Misa was applied to that innocent person, and then it was discovered these people are just fakers, they get Misa. Even before that innocent person was killed. Okay? Amar lo Shimon ben Shatach. Shimon ben Shatach responds to Yehuda ben Tabai. It was a terrible mistake you made. Erev Nechama, I will see the Nechama, meaning I should not see Nechama. Im lo yishafachti damnaki. Im lo yishafachti damnaki. If you didn't kill an innocent person, basically he's saying, you killed an innocent person. Why? One Eid Zayim? That doesn't work. It needs to be a pair of Eidim Zayim. Shari Amru Chachamim, didn't Chacham tell us, Ein Edim Zayim in Nehrogin. You only apply Misa to the Edim Zayim. If they both turned out to be false, if they were both turned into Edim Zayim, Achi Azum Shneim. So Reuven and Shimon testified falsely against an innocent person. It turns out that one of these two Edim were Edim Zayim. So another pair of Edim came along and said, well, you, Reuven, what are you doing here? How could you purport to have seen a story that took place in this place, in this time? You were with us. We were at a wedding that night. So only one aid became an aid zayman, but the other one, well, nobody was able to disprove him. This halacha doesn't apply. It's all or nothing. So how did you kill an eid zayimim on his own? This applies to all types of hazama situations, whether it's a misa situation, or a malka situation, or a monetary issue. Ve'ein loikin, the eidim zayimim don't get malkas, achi yazumu shneim, unless they're both eidim zayimim. So in a case where they attempted to apply malkas onto an innocent person, they don't get malkas unless they both became muzam. Vein Misham and Mam, same thing when it comes to paying money. Achizum Mishnaim, until they're both Zaymimim. How could you do Hazaman only on one? So Yudim and Tabai felt terrible. Miyad Kibulal of Yudim and Tabai. Yudim and Tabai accepted upon himself. She'enay Mora Halacha Elifnei Shimon Meshatach. From now on, he's never going to Paskin Hashayil unless it's in the presence of Shimon Meshatach, until he gets his consent to ensure that he's not making a mistake. Called Yamav Shal Yudim and Tabai, all throughout his lifetime, he would go and lie himself down on the grave of this person that he brought, that he killed. He felt terrible. He begged him for forgiveness. They would hear his voice. Everybody thought Shakoyla Shal Harugu. It's the sound of the Harug who's sort of lamenting his fate. He tells him, no, it's me. Koylu, I'm speaking. I'm crying. Teidu, I'll prove it to you. Shalamachar humes. After a while, when I die, it's going to stop. There's no more sound. Apparently, it's me. That's not a proof. Perhaps it's the victim crying, but as soon as Yehudim and Tabi passes away, he goes to Shemaim, he can appease his victim, and that's why he stops. Or conversely, the victim called him to a din Torah in Shemaim, that's why he stopped. Okay, so that's the price. Let's analyze the price. Mani, who's the author of this price? Rabbeinu said that Shimon Meshatach was the Av Bezdin, and Rabban said that Shimon Meshatach was the Nasi. So Mani, who's the author of this price? Iyam Rasbishlam and Rabbeinu, it works according to Rabbeinu. The Omar Shimon Meshatach Av Bezdin, he was the Av Bezdin. Therefore, we could explain what happened. Because if Shimon Meshatach was the Av Bezdin, then his counterpart, Rabbi Yudim and Tabi, was a Nasi, right? It goes hand in hand. Right? Every pair in the Mishnah had an Av Bezdin and a Nasi. So if Yudim and Tabi was a Nasi, that explains Hainu the Kamayri Halacha of Shimon ben Shatach. That explains how he could rule in front of Shimon ben Shatach, because he stands higher than him. Eli Amrus Rabbanon. But if this is in line with Rabbanon, the Amri, Yudim and Tabi Av Bezdin. He was the Av Bezdin, and Shimon ben Shatach was a Nasi. How could Yud Ben Tabai issue halachas in front of the Nasi? Av Bezdin b'fnei Nasi mi'mayra halacha? How can that happen? Right? He said, from now on I'm going to pask only in front of you. You can't do that. You're not allowed to mi'mayra halacha in front of a Nasi. Says the Gemara. Look, that's not what he meant. My kibbutz love, when he said I'm accepting upon myself to only do it in front of you, Maki will have the Ka'amar, let's tarufe. He meant to say with others. That feel it's tarufe. Nami lemis tarif. I'm not even going to join a bezin unless it's in front of you. Well, as Tesis learns, I'm not going to get involved in the din Torah which opposes your position. So certainly it could work with Shimon ben Shatach being the Nasi, because he was never trying to rule independently from Shimon ben Shatach, that he couldn't do. But to join the Bezdin, that he can do, but even then he would be careful to do it only in front of him. And that's the way Tesis learns, other Mepharshim learn, what he meant to say is, from now on I'm going to do it in front of you, I'm going to do it with your consent. That's what he meant. Yotze Menachem Benichna Shammai. So Menachem left the post, no longer the Av Bezdin, and he was replaced by Shammai. Lechon Yotze, where did he go? By Omar. Yotze Tabas Ra. He's straight off the path. He joined the Baisusim, the ones who opposed Hereshe Baal Peh. Rav Amar Yotzal Avedis HaMelech, he was taken into the king's service. Tani Nami Hachi, Yotzal Benachem Avedis HaMelech, he was taken into the royal service, into Hurdis HaMelech's service. And with him went 80 pairs of Talmidim, levushim sirikon, dressed in these royal garbs. They all went along with him. Amar Rav Shambar Rav Amar Biyachnan. From our Gemara, we learn an interesting, profound lesson. Lo'olam al tei shvus kala b'einecha. One should never take a shvus, Issa d'Rabbanan, lightly. Why? Look what's going on. Yesh harish smicha. Eina ela mishum shvus. At most, the smicha issue here is only the Rabbanan. Everybody was involved in it. The greatest of the great were involved in this machlekes. Involving just a derabbanan. Pshita. Of course it's important. Why would I think otherwise? It's a Mishnah and Beitza. You have to be careful. Refrain from shvusim. Shvus mitzvah tzrichli. Oh, here's a chedesh. It's a shvus, but it involves a mitzvah. Smicha after all is a mitzvah. Still, don't take it lightly. Hanami Peshitta, that's obvious. Mishnah and Beit said, Avchav speaks about, Lamed Vavam and Beit speaks about Shvusim that are mitzvahs. That's still Aser. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon has come to tell us Pshat in the Mishnah. What's the background to the Machlekes? Yes, Smicha, no Smicha. Lafuki manda Omar b'smicha gufa pliki. You see, there was another approach to this Machlekes. A fundamental shaila of whether or not there is a din of smicha when it comes to the shlamim that one brings on Yom Tov. There's an alternate approach to the whole sugya. It's based on a fundamental question: is there smicha or no smicha? Skip Yom Tov or Shabbos. Is there smicha on this type of carbon? And those who say you do smicha because they hold smicha is required. Those that disagree, because smicha is not required, period. Kamash Malan comes Rabbi Yechon and tells us, no, that's not the point of discussion. Bishvusu de pligi. Everybody agrees, smicha is required. It's Yom Tov, that's the issue. Can we do smicha on Yom Tov? Smicha is required. But is it allowed on Yom Tov? Or do we say, no, it's a shvus, don't do it. Says Rabbi Yechon, don't take shvus lightly. Because that's the point of machlokes. Amar Rami Bar Chama Shmamina, we learn from here how to do smicha. Smicha b'chol koicha b'inam. When you lean, full force, full weight. Because that's not needed. A slight leaning is okay. Micah Ovid, what's he doing? Lismich, let him lean on Yom Tov. Apparently, the proper way is to lean entirely on the animal. Meisve, is that true? Gneska kash. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'samach. We learn from this pasuk that only b'nei Yisrael v'samach, only men do smicha. Ve'im b'nei Yisrael v'samach, women don't do smicha. Rabbi Yisrael b'shmol Eimrim, they don't have to, but if they choose to do it, they can. B'nei Yisrael v'samach is reshus, like any other mitzvah that they do. Tesis brings here that they can do other mitzvahs, shayfar, lulav, they don't need to do these things, but if they want, they can do it. In fact, Tesis brings that they make a bracha. Amar b'yesi, I'll prove my point, that Nashim have the allowance to do it. Sochli Abba Lazar tells me as follows. Pamachas ha'ilon egel shazivcha shlam. We once had this calf, which was a shlam. The venula as a snoshim. So although it belonged to the men, not to the women, but we brought it to the as a snoshim and the Yves HaMikdash, and we got the women involved. V'samchu olav noshim. The women did smicha. Lame nesh smicha ben noshim. Not because they needed to do it. It wasn't even theirs. And look, they lost his nachas ruach l'noshim. We want to make them happy. Get them to feel involved in the avodas hakarbon. So although it was really the man's carbon, it didn't even belong to them. There's no point in making smicha, but we wanted to give them the impression like they're involved because typically they do smicha on their karbonis. Therefore, they felt happy being involved and doing their smicha on this carbon as well. So what's the right? The right from here is that apparently Noshim are accustomed to doing smicha on their karbonis. Therefore, allowing them to do it here as well made them happy. So it's right that Noshim can choose to do smicha. Okay, so that's the price. Now, getting back to our discussion, how to do smicha? B'chol koichai or not b'chol koichai? B'yisak g'daitech smicha b'chol koichai b'inon. If smicha has to be done fully leaning on the animal, which is really, keep in mind, really that's a problem. Typically we don't lean on karbanos. It's called avoid the b'kachim. You're using a karban in a lot, unless it's a mitzvah, unless it's smicha. But when it comes to Noshim, in this case, they weren't doing a mitzvah. It was just nachas ruach. How does that justify leaning on the carbon? If smicha is done by leaning completely on the carbon, Mishum nachas ruach, the noshim avdina avoida bekachim, to pacify the women. We're going to allow them to do avoid on a curb. Elash mamin aloybin and b'chol koicha. This is a clear right. You don't have to lean on the animal. Just slight lean is enough. That's a kasha on the shita that dictated otherwise. Loylom emlach b'inim b'chol koicha. No, certainly you have to lean all the way. How did they allow the noshim to do it? The amrlu akfa yadaychu. It told them just slightly cover the animal with your hands. Akfa is like floating. Put your hands on top of the animal. Don't lean on the animal. They didn't do avayd b'kachim. If that's the case, that's all they allowed them. Then why did the Brisa say we gave it to the noshim for smicha? Not because they needed to do smicha, just to give them nachas ruach. He should have said better. They weren't even doing the smicha. Yachi lo yipnei smicha b'noshim. Instead of saying those words, typically he should have said, "De'enu l'smicha klal." They weren't actually doing smicha at all; it was just a pretend. Amar Abami, yeah, that's what he says. Chadavayt kamar. He's saying two things. Number one, chadav the less l'smicha klal. You should know they didn't even do real smicha; just a fake. Void. In addition, k'day lasis rachas ruach noshim. The point was to pacify the women and make them happy. Amar Papa, shma mina. From this whole sugi, we learn an interesting thing. Tzadin asur. The chacham disallowed use of an animal on Shabbos or Yontif. For concern that you might rip off a branch, etc. This issur applies even to the tzadin, even if one leans on the side of the animal, which is not the conventional way of enjoying and riding on an animal. It's also a problem. Why? How do I know this? From our sugya. The isaka daitach tzadin mutarim, because if leaning on the side is mutar, what's the problem with smicha? What's the whole sugya about? Yes, smicha, no smicha. Let's smicha, let's tzadin. Do smicha on the side of the head, which is never asa to begin with. This proves that even studna are included in the issur. Rav Ashi Yomar, no. I feel the tame with studna mutar. You know, typically leaning on the side of the animal is okay. That's a non-conventional use. And it's mutar. Why can't you do smicha in that manner? Because wherever you lean, on the head, the top, the side, call the bahadi gava, whatever is on the same level as the back of the animal, which pretty much includes the entire head. Ki gava dum is like the back. Meaning we don't differentiate between this part and that part, but it's on the level. On the back level, then it's included in the issur, even if it's on the side of the head. Rashi says the roish is shaveh begoyvel gava behema. The entire head is really on the same level as the back. So, even on the side of the head would be a problem. For after the fact that it's mutter and it's a chiyuv to do it on yantiv. Let's do a quick chazor of the stuff. We learned about these six elements found in the shadim, half man, half malach. Six elements found within us, half malachim, half animals. We learned about keeping within our realm of understanding, not reaching beyond our grasp, malamala, malamata, etc. We learned about taking care not to gaze too strongly at the shchina, at the keshes, the kaihanim, and the third one was the nasi, right? We learned about preserving the covet of Hashem, not pretending that Hashem is not around in private. We went on to the machlekes found in the Mishnah, which was the first machlekes in Klal Yisrael regarding smicha, yes or no. We learned that smicha is b'chol koichai, and it's an issue of mishtamish b'bal chayim on Yom Tov. So that's the question, whether smicha is required or not, and that's the shaila that the sugya revolves around. Basically, is smicha something that leads into shchita and has to be done in close proximity, or could it be done yesterday, in which case it doesn't justify using an animal on Yom Tov, and even the side of the head we said is considered a proper use of the animal, which would be problematic after the fact that smicha is a requirement on Yom Tov. And we learned about the whole story with Yudim and Tabai, who brought about the death of a Eid Zaymim, unjustified death. Interesting, Taisi has a kasha. He says, the Gemara says, even a behemoth of a tzaddik will not eat something, will not have a takala. Certainly a tzaddik wouldn't have a takala. How could it be that he came to such a terrible mistake? So he just says that only applies to midi da'achila. When it comes to consuming food, that's a gnai, to really ingest something which is isser. But otherwise, we do find, unfortunately, that tzaddikim can stumble here and there. And as we see in our Gemara, and he went and he worked on the tshuva throughout his entire lifetime, and he was makabel kabbalis ala osid. That's why to do tshuva even in such a difficult chet, charata, tefila, kabbal osid, and he moved on. Okay, that's the sugi. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.